Glory to Jesus. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the word of life. Thank God for the word of faith, the word of salvation. Thank God for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Welcome to another episode on Every Day with Jesus broadcast. This has been an amazing journey into discovering or in the discovery of the word of God, of the truth of Christ Jesus, of the revelation of Christ, what he has done, the efficacy of his sacrifice in providing remission of sins to them that believe. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, so we've been studying metaphors for salvation, justification, and you know, yesterday we saw how that the law could not justify, majorly because justification is about having the gift of eternal life. Now, the law could not provide eternal life. The law could not give men life. The law could not make people alive unto God. The law ministered death and condemnation. Because of this, the law could not have been the basis for justification. Hallelujah. And we walk through scriptures. I mean, yesterday we saw Romans 1, Romans 2, Romans 3, Romans 4. We saw Romans 7. We saw Romans 9, Romans 10. Hallelujah. Just yesterday, we walked through Romans. Romans is a book that can be titled Justification by Faith. Hallelujah. And we saw how the Jews that were relying on the law and making their boast in the law were themselves disqualified by the law, by the same law. Hallelujah. The law was written to prove them guilty in the sight of God. Glory to Jesus. So it's a waste of time for men to rely on the law for justification. It's a waste of time for men to attempt to be justified by what they do. We don't get justified by behaving. We get justified by believing. Hallelujah. We get justified by believing. We saw Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. These things have to be said over and over and over and over and over again. Many of us grew up with the works mentality. We grew up with the mentality of trying to please God by what we do in order to be accepted or justified or saved. Hallelujah. But it's the other way around. In Christianity, justification does not come by us trying to please God. It comes by what Jesus did and our identification with the same by faith, by which we are recipients of the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So with the heart man believes unto righteousness. We don't behave unto righteousness, we believe unto righteousness. Praise God. So we believe unto righteousness. We believe unto righteousness. The law cannot justify. The law cannot set anybody free. The law cannot deliver men from condemnation. The law actually ministered condemnation. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. John 1:17. The law cannot justify. John 1:17, Bible says, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. For the law came by Moses, came through Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Someone said to me, grace and truth are different things entirely. Someone said, we are in the era, the apostles were in the era of grace, we are in the era of truth. That's amazing. So what is grace? Is grace a lie? Grace is the truth. Hallelujah. By grace, through faith, you've been saved, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the truth of God. That's the truth that came through Jesus Christ. The grace of God through faith. Hallelujah. As a basis, as a means for justification. So the grace of God that came through Christ is the truth. Grace is the reality. Unlike the law that was a shadow. The word truth there speaks of reality. So the law, which is a shadow, came by Moses. Grace, which is the reality, which is the truth, came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the law cannot justify because the law came by Moses. Glory to Jesus. The law came by Moses. It is Christ who justifies. Look at Romans chapter 8. Glory to Jesus. It is Christ that justifies. It is Christ that justifies. Romans chapter 8. I'll read from verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, he is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So God justifies only in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God justifies only in Christ Jesus. The law cannot justify because the law came through Moses. That which came through Moses could not have justified because God only justifies in Christ. God does not justify in Moses. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 3. Glory to Jesus. God is just to be the justifier of the one who has faith only in Christ. Romans chapter 3 from verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus. In Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Have you seen? To all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is where? In Christ Jesus, not in Moses, in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Whom God set forth as a propitiation. So Jesus is the one whom God set forth as propitiation for the sins of the world, not Moses. Moses himself was in need of salvation. Moses himself was looking forward to salvation by faith in Christ Jesus. Moses himself, the lawgiver, was looking forward to justification by faith. Hallelujah. Was looking forward to the promise of Christ. Glory to Jesus. So whom God set forth as the propitiation by His blood, through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at this present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. So the law came through Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. That shows you that what justifies is the grace of God. Because grace is found in Christ. Grace is the basis for justification. Since God justifies only in Christ and through Christ. Hallelujah. Like I said, Moses himself was looking forward to salvation by faith in Christ. Moses himself believed in God in advance. Hebrews chapter 11. Moses is one of the elders in the Old Testament that obtained a good report by faith. Hebrews 11, glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's foolhardy, it's shallow, it's myopic to be relying on the law of Moses for justification, because Moses himself was hoping to be justified by faith in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 11, hallelujah. Hebrews 11, I'll read from verse 1. Bible says, now then faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. The elders. And Moses is one of these elders. Hallelujah. Moses is one of these elders. We read at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Have you seen? He looked to the reward. He looked forward. He looked ahead to what was to come in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. The reward of his service was even found in Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. So Moses is one of the elders that were living by faith, walking by faith rather, in the Old Testament, and anticipating the fulfillment of the promises of God in Christ. Hallelujah. If you read verse 13 of Hebrews 11, Bible says, these all died in faith, having not received the promises. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Hallelujah. They saw these things afar off. They saw these things afar off. They did not receive the things in their lifetime. They saw these things afar off. They didn't receive the promises, but they were assured of them. Hallelujah. So they believed God ahead of time, in advance, for justification by faith, for the gift of salvation. So it is wrong and erroneous for anybody to be relying on the law of Moses for justification, because Moses himself, who was the mediator of the law, was relying on justification by faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it is wrong to seek justification by faith in the law of Moses. Why? Because the law of Moses cannot justify. The law of Moses could not even justify Moses. The law of Moses could not even set Moses right with God. Moses relied on faith in Christ Jesus to be made right with God. Hallelujah. Look at John chapter 5 verse 45. Look at what the law of Moses is busy doing. John 5:45. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Jews were ignorant of this. Jesus had to educate them. He had to show them. Guys, you are unaware of the fact that the law you are relying on is that which is accusing you. John 5:45. Bible says, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. Moses, in whom you trust. And just like we say, we are justified by Christ, and we are making reference to, justification by faith in his grace. The same way when Bible says Moses is the one that accuses you, it's making reference to the law of Moses, the old covenant, which is a ministry of condemnation and judgment, a ministry of death. So the law of Moses was perpetually accusing men. Hallelujah. The law was perpetually finding fault. Glory to Jesus. It was always finding fault. It was bringing accusations. And accusations were very valid because people were guilty of those things. So the Lord proved that they were guilty but could do nothing about their guilt. Hallelujah. The Lord proved them to be guilty, to be full of fault, to be under the sentence of death, to be under the claws and the slavery of sin, but the Lord could do nothing about that state. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. The law is a ministry of accusation. Hence, the law had to be abolished. The law had to be abolished. The law had to be set aside. The law had to be annulled. Hallelujah. Annulled by the fulfillment of Christ. Christ came to fulfill the law, and that was how Christ set the law aside. Hallelujah. A tricky verse is Matthew 5:17. The law had to be abolished. Matthew 5:17. Glory to Jesus. Matthew 5:17. Jesus says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And this verse of the Bible has suffered so much in the hands of legalists. Hallelujah. Men who are passionate and devoted, men who are so passionate and devoted, fiercely devoted to the law of Moses as a means for justification. Men who preach that unless you are circumcised and keep the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. In the Nigerian church, for instance, we don't even emphasize circumcision. The emphasis, however, is on believing and trusting in the law for justification. That is, you must obey every jot of the law in order for you to be accepted in the sight of God. Hallelujah. So this verse has suffered so much, so greatly in the hands of men who are passionate about the law of Moses. That can you see? Even Jesus said, can you see? Even Jesus said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus said, but you are missing the point. Jesus did not say, I did not come to abolish the law. I have come to show you how to fulfill the law. No, he says, I have come to fulfill the law, such that it was Jesus who came to fulfill the law. Hallelujah. And mind you, Jesus is saying this because of what he was about to start saying. Don't think I have come to destroy and to abolish the law or the prophets, because he was about to start making some very, very categorical statements. Hallelujah. He was about to start making some very categorical statements that can be misunderstood. So he quickly issued a disclaimer. I have not come to destroy. Don't think I'm about to destroy the law. No, I came to fulfill it. But he was about to start saying some things at verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, so where was this said? In the law. You have heard, but I say. Hallelujah. So if he hadn't issued that disclaimer, it would seem as though Jesus is saying the law should be set aside without him fulfilling the law. No. But Jesus didn't come to set aside the law and the prophets, because the law and the prophets were prophesying about Jesus and his work of redemption, his death and resurrection, his sufferings and the glories that will follow. So Jesus came as the fulfillment of the things that were written. Hallelujah. So that's what he meant when he says, I have not come to destroy but to fulfill them. But he had to say this because of the things he was about to start saying. Look at verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You have heard. Where was this said? In the law. So he's saying, no, forget that. What I'm saying now is that if you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery. Glory to Jesus. Look at verse 31. Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. Where was this said? In the law. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. So Jesus is saying something that is directly opposite what was said in the law. Hallelujah. That's why I quickly issued that disclaimer. Don't think what I'm about to start doing is me setting aside the law. No, I came to fulfill the law. But why exactly was Jesus saying what he was saying here? Why was he saying something that seemed to be opposite what was said in the law? Because of what he said in verse 20. Matthew 5:20. Look at this quickly. Bible says, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." The righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, according to Paul, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, according to the righteousness which is in the law, I'm blameless. Hallelujah. I'm what? I'm blameless. Glory to God. So there were Pharisees who considered themselves blameless according to the righteousness that was in the law. Glory to Jesus. You know what? The righteousness in the law is about externals. Hallelujah. It's about what? Externals. Philippians chapter 3 verse 6. Concerning righteousness which is in law, I'm blameless. I was blameless. Externals. That is, if you were not caught, you were considered righteous according to the law. So, Jesus is now trying to show them that beyond the outward, if you can think about it, you are guilty. So, Jesus is merely trying to humble these guys. Hallelujah. Jesus is not preaching that the way to become righteous is by doing more, is by, you know, not looking at a woman lustfully and doing all these things. It's by plucking out your eyes, plucking out your left hand or your left leg or anything, any member of your body that might seem to cause you to sin. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. Jesus is showing that, see, there's more to being righteous. There's more to being considered righteous in the sight of God than merely escaping the wrath of the law. Hallelujah. Than merely being smart enough to escape the wrath of the law, the condemnation of the law. No, there's more. Hallelujah. Such that if you plead guilty before the law, if you plead guilty in the sight of the law because you've not been caught, you can't plead guilty based on the things that Jesus is talking about here. Hallelujah. You were meant to sleep with a woman to be considered an adulterer before. But now Jesus is saying if you look lustfully at a woman, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Hallelujah. Many of the things Jesus said in this place are things that people will find very difficult to comply with. And so Jesus is showing them that there is more to being righteous than merely escaping, you know, the wrath of the law, the things that have been stated. It's not just about not missing it in your actions. Even your thoughts could betray you. Glory to Jesus. Now, there was a prophecy concerning Jesus already at Isaiah 42 verse 21. Hallelujah. There was a prophecy. Isaiah 42 verse 21, Bible says, "The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will exalt the law and make it honorable." He will exalt the law and make it honorable. When he says honorable, the word honorable there in the Hebrew is the word that means to expand the law. Glory to Jesus. Jesus magnified and expanded the law. He made men see a wider and broader application and implication of the law. Glory to Jesus. A wider and broader application. And the end of this is that men would become humble enough to admit that they were in need of salvation. Glory to Jesus. That they were in need of salvation. That's why he ends the discourse by saying, "See, you will be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Glory to Jesus. Just as your Father in heaven is perfect. I mean, the kind of things Jesus stated in this place are things very difficult for the natural man to comply with. Verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." This is so hard for any man that does not have the Spirit of God. So you can't be giving this kind of instructions to men void of the Spirit of God and you expect them to live by it. No. So this was said to humble the self-righteous men, the arrogant men, the boastful and the proud ones in the midst of men in those days. Hallelujah. Especially the Pharisees. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So when Bible says, "I've not come to destroy the law, I've come to fulfill it," it's not referring to, it's not saying that Jesus has not come to set aside the law. No, it's showing us how Jesus has come to set aside the law. It is by fulfilling it. Hallelujah. That is, he didn't take the law out of the way while he was around. The law existed and Jesus perfectly fulfilled the law and then set it aside. Glory to Jesus. Jesus set the law aside having fulfilled the law. Look at Romans chapter 10 verse 1 to 4. Jesus set the law aside having fulfilled the law. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10 verse 1 to 4. Glory to Jesus. Bible says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Hallelujah. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Have you seen that? Christ is the end of the law. How did Christ become the end of the law? By fulfilling the law. Praise God. He fulfilled the requirements of the law. He fulfilled the requirements of the law. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 8. Glory to Jesus. Romans 8 from verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. How did Jesus fulfill the law? Hallelujah. By his death and resurrection and the gift of eternal life. That which the law was seeking and could not give, Jesus has given. Hallelujah. You know, the law was seeking blamelessness. The law was seeking righteousness. The law was seeking perfection. But the law could not impact all these things. The law could not give righteousness. It could not give perfection. It could not give life. But the law was demanding these things. The law was making demands that it could not supply. Jesus supplied all that the law was demanding. Hallelujah. By the gift of eternal life. Glory to Jesus. So the requirement of the law has been fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, that is, who rely not on the law, but walk after the Spirit, that is, those who believe in Christ Jesus for justification. Hallelujah. Walking after the flesh is relying on the law of Moses. Walking after the Spirit is relying on faith alone in Christ alone for justification. You could consult Romans chapter 7. You know, we explained this in some of the previous episodes. Romans 7 explains what it means to rely on the law and what it means to rely on the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, Jesus did not come to set aside the law in his time. He came to fulfill it. And having fulfilled the law has been set aside. We are not meant to fulfill the law. The law has been fulfilled by Christ Jesus, and the requirement of the same has been fulfilled in us by our faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to. So the law has been annulled, abolished. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 to 11. 2 Corinthians 3, 7 to 11. You see how the law has been set aside. The law is described as something that passed away. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll read from verse 7 down to 11. Glory to God. Bible says, but if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. Have you seen? That glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. So there's a contrast between the law and faith in Christ Jesus. One is called the ministry of condemnation, the other is called the ministry of righteousness. Verse 10, for even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. Verse 11, for if what is passing away was glorious, that which remains is much more glorious. That which is passing away was the law of Moses. Hallelujah. From that point in time that it was given, from that point, Moses was acting as the mediator. The law was already passing away. Today, the law has passed away. Hallelujah. It has gone. Why? Because Jesus fulfilled the law. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 from verse 44. Then he said to them, Luke 24, 44, then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. All things must be fulfilled. All things must be fulfilled. Fulfilled by who? By Christ himself. How did he fulfill it? By his death and resurrection. Glory to Jesus. By his death and resurrection, Jesus took the judgment of the world. He died the sinner's death. He rose again triumphantly. And then today, he is just to give life to all them that have faith in him. Hallelujah. To all them that believe on his name. Glory to Jesus. So, we are not the ones to fulfill the law. The law was fulfilled by Christ Jesus on our behalf. Hallelujah. Such that we are nothing but recipients of a finished work. Of a finished done work. Hallelujah. Jesus did the work. We are the beneficiaries of that work. Hallelujah. We are recipients of a finished work. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So, the law has been set aside. The law has been set aside. The law has been abolished. The law has been annulled. Hallelujah. Let me give you some reasons why the law was abolished. Number one, Romans 3 verse 19 to 20, Bible says we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may become guilty in the sight of God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. So the law stopped the mouth of every man and made them guilty in the sight of God, or proved them guilty in the sight of God. The law had to be abolished because the law only served to prove men guilty in the sight of God. Romans 4:15, Bible says the law works wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. The law was working wrath. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 5 verse 20, Bible says, but the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So the law entered that the offense might abound. The law made offenses abound. So the law had to be set aside. Glory to Jesus. Romans 6:14, Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. That means under the law, sin had dominion over men. So the law had to be set aside because sin had dominion over men through the law, through the dispensation of the law. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 7, verse 5 to 11, the law ministered death and it strengthened the passions of the flesh. Romans chapter 7, the law strengthened the passions of the flesh and it ministered death. Romans chapter 7, verse 5 to 11, glory to God. Hallelujah. So you see, the law had to be set aside. From verse 5, Bible says, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Have you seen? The sinful passions were aroused by the law and they were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Glory to Jesus. When we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, they were aroused by the law. Hallelujah. You know, people think that the more you give people laws, the more you give them laws and upon laws, the more you're able to prevent them from doing what is wrong. That's not the truth. In fact, the more you give men laws, the more they will do the things you don't want them to do. Just look at the world around you. Praise God. With all the laws that have been made, people are still doing the things they are not meant to do. People are still flouting the laws. You know what? You know why? Because before the laws were given, the laws were broken. Hallelujah. Before the laws were given, before the laws were made, the laws were broken. In fact, the laws were made because people were doing wrong. So the laws were made to prevent people from continuing to do wrong. However, the law has no power to stop people from doing the things they were doing before the law was made. Hallelujah. If you look at the book of Exodus, that was where the law was instituted and was given by the disposition of angels. You discover that all the things that were prohibited were things the children of Israel had already been doing. Hallelujah. Adultery, covetousness, false witness, serving other gods, they were already given to all those things. So before laws were made, laws were already broken. That's why laws had no power to set free, had no power to deliver people from sin and from their evil ways. Because laws came way after men were already terrible and bad and evil in their ways. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So laws cannot save. Laws cannot justify. Laws cannot set free. Laws only strengthen the passions of sin that existed before the giving of the law. Praise God. So the more you prohibit, the more you give laws, the more people now become smarter. Not only that, the law further reminds them of the evil things they were meant to, of the evil things they are meant to do. That's how come when you want to step out of your house, maybe as a parent, and you tell your children, don't touch that fridge. Make sure you don't go to this place. Make sure you don't play football. You know, the moment you say all those things, you are invoking in them and motivating in them an interest towards those activities. Praise God. Already. So when you step out of the house, they become smart enough to be watching the road and be looking through the window to find out if you are coming back anytime soon, because they are about to go and check everything you said they should not go and check. Amen. The law only motivates an interest towards the things that, you know, people are not meant to do. Glory to Jesus. You know, there are many things that when you begin to prohibit them, that's when some people will, for the first time, discover that those things exist. Hallelujah. For the first time, you talk about a particular sin that is not even generally known. And that's the first time people come into an awareness of that particular habit or conduct. Then people begin to search about it. They want to know what it is. Before you know it, that law that you made becomes a strength, becomes a motivation, becomes an encouragement for men to dabble into things they ought not to, you know, dabble into in the first place. Glory be to God. So while the law is good, because of course the law is moral in its nature, the law had no ability to curb the sinful passions that were at work in men. It only further provoked and invoked and steered it into action. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. So that's what Paul is saying at Romans chapter 7, from verse 5 to 11. When we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. But on the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. He says, but sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. Have you seen that sin by the commandment produced all manner of evil desire? For apart from the law, sin was dead. The reason why I said some of the things that people will not even know about, they will come to know those things only through prohibitions. Praise God. The first time I heard about certain things, it was through prohibitions. Things I did not have an awareness about them. I didn't know they existed in the world until somebody began to make prohibitions about them. So by the commandment, the desire for those things were provoked, were motivated and steered. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. So look at verse 9. It says, I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. That is, by the commandment, through the law. So they were working together. The law could not stop sin. Sin was rather using the law as a tool. Hallelujah. So the law had to be set aside because the law was not profitable in this regard. It couldn't change men. It couldn't set men free. It couldn't liberate men from the power of sin. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 11 to 12, Hebrews 7, 11 to 12, glory to Jesus. The law has been set aside because the law cannot justify. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 11 and 12, glory to Jesus. Hebrews 7, 11 and 12, therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, of necessity, there's also a change of the law. Have you seen the law has been changed? Hallelujah. From the old covenant, we've gone past the old covenant. Now we are in the new covenant. There's a new covenant. There's a new law. This is not the law of Moses. This is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The law of faith. Hallelujah. The law of faith. So there's a change of the law. Look at verse 18 and 19. There's a change of the law. The law has been abolished. 18 to 19. For on the one hand, there's an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and non-profitableness. For the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there's the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. Have you seen? The law made nothing perfect. 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 Hallelujah. I needed to sound that so clear and loud into your consciousness. The law made nothing perfect. Glory to Jesus. So Bible says on the one hand, there's an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and non-profitableness. The law was not profitable in this regard. Hallelujah. It wasn't profitable in this regard. Glory to Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7 to 13. Hebrews 8, 7 to 13. Glory to God. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. Have you seen? If the first covenant had been faultless, if it was not weak and non-profitable, there would have been no place for a second one. There will have been no need for it. Verse 8, because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. Simply I'll give them my spirit, and I'll be their God, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, for I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I'll remember no more. Look at verse 13. Very key. In that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Hallelujah. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Have you seen? So the first covenant, which is the law, the Old Testament, has been annulled. And you see, when we talk about the Old Testament, we're not talking about the prophecies, the things said concerning Jesus. Of course, we can still read those things today and learn and understand better what Jesus has done. The prophecies were fulfilled in Christ Jesus, and today we are still commended to the letters of the prophet, to the prophecies of the prophets, the books of the prophets, the scriptures. As a matter of fact, the epistles came out from the books of the prophets, the scriptures. Paul taught from the Old Testament. The apostles taught from the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Look at what Peter says at 2 Peter chapter 1. Glory to Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter says something very remarkable about the Old Testament books. 2 Peter chapter 1. Glory to God. I'll read from verse 19. He says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." He says, "The prophetic word has been confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place." Glory to Jesus. That is, we are to pay attention to the scriptures of the prophets. Knowing this first, verse 20, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So he says, we do well to heed this. We do well to heed the truth of Christ, the essence of Christ as communicated in the letters of the prophets. Glory to Jesus. So when we say the old covenant has been annulled, we are not referring to the books generally. We are talking about the institution of the law. Glory to Jesus. That institution that made approaching God, based on your works, based on what you were doing, based on your own righteousness. Glory to God. That institution of the law by which men were approaching daily, offering sacrifices, and then relying on their own moral perfections also to be justified in the sight of God. That is what has been set aside. That is what has been annulled. Glory to Jesus. But the books that contain the truths concerning redemption, that contain the essence of Jesus' death and resurrection, have not been annulled today, because we still read from those books. We are still blessed by those books. However, we read with the mind of Christ. We've been unveiled. We've been enlightened and illuminated. So when we read those books, we are not seeing mysteries. We are not seeing things that they could not understand in those days. We are seeing revelation. Hallelujah. We can understand Isaiah better. We can understand Jeremiah better. We can understand the prophets generally better because of the light of Christ that has come to us in the letters of the apostles. Glory to God. Glory be to Jesus. So the law has been abolished because the law is impotent to save. The law is impotent to justify. The law cannot justify any man. No man will be justified by what he does. Hallelujah. Because justification is not by doing, it's by believing. Hallelujah. Justification is not by doing, it's by believing. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Justification is not by doing, it's by being. Hallelujah. We become as we believe. Glory to Jesus. It's by being. So Jesus's focus is on addressing the being, the state of the man. Glory to Jesus. The state of the man. So he transforms the man. If any man is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So Jesus focuses on the being. Hallelujah. Religious laws, religious men, legalists focus on doing, the doing, and they neglect the man. So the man is still the old man, trying to behave and to do righteousness, trying to appease God by what he does. But you see, it doesn't work that way. We don't do to become, we become to do. Hallelujah. We don't do to become. It's first about becoming. So we become. Hallelujah. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. We become to begin to act as children of God. We first become children of God. We first become righteous to walk in righteousness. We become holy to walk in holiness. We become justified to live as men, justified by faith in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We live as men, justified. We walk in faithfulness because God already counted us faithful. God made us faithful. Hallelujah. So it's our becoming that empowers us to do. And that's the order. First the becoming and then doing. Glory to Jesus. First the becoming and then doing. A lot of Christians are frustrated today because they put the cart before the horse. Some are not even Christians. They are not born again. They are in the church, but they are not in the faith because they are still relying on the law of Moses for justification. They've not even heard the gospel. Praise God. We are going to see this in the next episode. Some have not even heard the gospel. All they have ever encountered in their life was how they ought to please God, how they ought to live right so as to please God and not go to hell. That's not the gospel that saves. Glory to Jesus. That's not how a man is saved. The word of faith which we preach is an announcement of what Jesus has done, the finished work of Christ, in the which all a man is required to do is to receive. Hallelujah. Is to receive. Glory to Jesus. Is to receive the word, and by receiving the word, he receives the gift of eternal life. He receives the very life of God. So it's first about becoming. Justification fixes our being, and then we're able to do as we have become. Hallelujah. Let me quote Philemon 1:6 as I close. Bible says that the sharing of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. So there are divine deposits within you in Christ Jesus. There are gifts of God within you in Christ Jesus. There's a new life on the inside within you in Christ Jesus. There are things God has given to you. There are things you now possess. Your inheritance in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And it is as you acknowledge what you have and who you have become, you're able to live effectively and effectually as a Christian. Glory to Jesus. So it's first about who you have become and a knowledge of the same, and then you're able to live as you ought to live. Glory to God. So we are not Christians seeking to be justified by the law. No, we have gone past that. We are believers because we've been justified by the faith of the Son of God. Glory to Jesus. What is left of us now is to walk as men who have been justified in the sight of God. How? By acknowledging this fact, acknowledging this reality, acknowledging the truth that we've already been justified by faith in Christ Jesus. We've been delivered from the guilt and the penalty of sin. We've been delivered from the power and the influence of sin. We have become new men in Christ Jesus. We have a new status, a new identity, new inheritance, new relationship. We can live as God ordained it. Hallelujah. Because God has given us the ability and the capacity in His Son Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Do good to tune in tomorrow, and let's come together again to have a great time. Invite your friends. Invite as many people as you can. Put on your status on Facebook, you know, status anywhere, and just let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Do have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Holy Ghost, full of prayers. And then, you know, you can also drop your question in the comment section or in the chat box. Drop your question. I'm going to attend to them. Glory to Jesus. In case you are listening to this after this broadcast, you are listening to this as a download, you can send your question to questions@lifeandspirit.org. questions@lifeandspirit.org. Praise God. So do have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost, full of spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody, and see you in the next episode.